Hello, and welcome to For the Journey, a podcast offering formation and inspiration to Christians longing for more of God in their lives and in the world. For the Journey is presented by Coracle, a ministry committed to inspiring and enabling people to be the presence of God in the brokenness of the world through spiritual formation for kingdom action. We want to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God so that you can go further into the world with God's loving, healing, redeeming power. For the Journey is a space where each week we hope to help you encounter God and live a more integrated life of faith in the world by offering a regular rhythm of reflections, guided spiritual practices, thoughtful conversations, and more. This week, Bill Haley offers a space for God to help us adopt a posture of active waiting as we enter into the Advent season. Along the way, he draws on poetry, song, and an essay by Henri Nouwen, a link to which you can find in the show notes. Here's Bill.
Psalm 62, we're talking this morning about waiting for God, and we'll have a chance to practice that as well. From Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Advent. This is the season of preparing to celebrate the memory of the birth of our Lord Jesus, and also to remember that Jesus is coming back, the second Advent, and to actively wait for that day. The hope of the Jews, long held, their long waiting, was vindicated in the first coming of Jesus. And so shall our long held hope be vindicated, our long waiting, when Jesus returns. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. When the Church celebrates Advent each year, we make present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. And so in this way now, the Church, that is you, that is me, in this way, we reincarnate the longing of the Jews. Their 2,000 years of waiting, right? We are representing that same posture of waiting with expectancy now. And yes, we are waiting. And we are waiting not only for the Christ to return and to make it all right and to redeem everything. To use Jesus' words from Matthew 18, we are waiting for the renewal of all things. And we're also waiting for God to come into those more immediate and concrete areas in our lives where we need him to show up. So, do you have concrete circumstances where you're waiting for God? Do you have specific areas in your life where you're waiting for him? I am sure we all do. I've long been marked by this reflection by Henri Nouwen, and Theological Horizons has put together a really beautiful rendition of this. I'm going to read it to you and share my screen. Waiting is not a very popular attitude. Waiting is not something that people think about with great sympathy. In fact, most people consider waiting a waste of time. For many people, waiting is an awful desert between where they are and where they want to go. and people do not like such a place. They want to get out of it by doing something. It impresses me, therefore, that all the figures who appear in the first pages of Luke's gospel are waiting. Elizabeth and Zechariah are waiting. Mary is waiting. Simeon and Anna, who were there at the temple when Jesus was brought in, are waiting. The whole opening of the good news is filled with waiting people. And right at the beginning, all those people, in some way or another, hear these words: "Do not be afraid. I have something to say to you, something good." These words set the tone and the context. Now, Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, Simeon and Anna are waiting for something new, something good to happen to them. Waiting, as we see it in the people on the first pages of the gospel, is waiting with a sense of promise. Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth is to bear you a son. Mary, listen, you are to conceive and bear a son. People who wait have received a promise that allows them to wait. They have received something that is at work in them, like a seed that has started to grow. This is very important. We can only really wait if we are waiting for, if what we are waiting for has already begun for us. So waiting is never a movement from nothing to something. It is always a movement from something to something more. Zechariah, Mary, and Elizabeth were living with a promise that nurtured them, that fed them, that made them able to stay where they were. Second, waiting is active. Most of us think waiting as something very passive, a hopeless state determined by events totally out of our hands. But there is none of this passivity in Scripture. Those who are waiting very actively. Active waiting means to be present fully to the moment, in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. Waiting is essential to the spiritual life, but waiting as a disciple of Jesus is not an empty waiting. It is a waiting with a promise in our hearts that makes already present what we are waiting for. We wait during Advent for the birth of Jesus. We wait after Easter for the coming of the Spirit. And after the ascension of Jesus, we wait for his coming again in glory. We are always waiting, but it is a waiting in the conviction that we have already seen God's footsteps. Waiting for God is an active, alert, yes, joyful waiting. As we wait, we remember him for whom we are waiting. And as we remember him, we create a community ready to welcome him when he comes. So, what are you waiting on God for? I'm sure there's the big picture. I'm sure you join me in waiting for Christ's return and the redemption and the resolution of all things. I'm sure you're waiting for that. But what more specifically in your life are you waiting for? Maybe it regards a relationship or a living situation, something related to your vocation, perhaps, a health resolution, clarity in a fraught situation, the health of a loved one, maybe, physical, spiritual, emotional. Maybe you're waiting for that. Maybe you're waiting for a more peaceable society. Maybe you're waiting for a more just world. There are many possibilities, as unique as is each one of us who are gathered here today. So, what specifically are you waiting for? So, over these next minutes, I want to play an instrumental rendition of that hymn of great longing, O Come, Emmanuel. It's a version by the piano guys. Use this time, this 5 minutes, to get clear on what you are waiting on God for. In other words, bring it to your mind. Try to get sharp on it. Be specific. Maybe even write it down. Oh God, I am waiting for this. This Advent, this is what I'm longing for. And even as you're writing those down, imagine yourself offering them up to the Lord. And then when the song closes, I'm going to give us about 3 minutes of silence. Listen. Listen to whatever God might say to you about these things. And then I'm going to play the hymn again, this time with lyrics, this time by the David Crowder Band. Imagine yourself taking those concerns that you've written down, almost holding them up to the Lord in cupped hands, trusting him with them, trusting his timing, trusting his wisdom, trusting that he loves you. Give him explicitly what is on your heart, the resolution of that which you've been waiting for. Lori asks a good question in the chat. What if there are multiple things? If there are multiple things, write them all down. It doesn't have to be just one. I know I'm going to have several. And as we do this, just know that God is here and God is there with you wherever you are this morning. And he's loving you. He's aware. He's attentive. God sees and God cares for you. True.
Thank you. Desire of me.
Amen. Amen. Just know that the Lord has heard you. Know that God has heard you. Know that God has heard the longings and desires of your heart. I'll close with this prayer of waiting. I don't remember where it came from. And again, those things that we've shared, or those things that we've shared to God, we'll just hold them in our little cupped hands outstretched to the Lord, offering those things to the Lord for his keeping. Share my screen. As Sarah waited 90 years for a son to fulfill God's promise, we wait in hope for what we thought had been promised to us. As Moses waited 40 years in the desert, being prepared by God to lead his people, we wait for emptiness and humility, for bravado to wither. As Israel waited 40 years in the desert, hungry, depressed, thirsting, unsure, we wait for things to move on and generations to pass. As the prophets waited 1,000 years of promises that God would raise up a Savior, we wait for things to change. As Mary waited 9 months of her 14 years for the child of God, we feel the birth pangs and hope. As John the Baptist waited, scanning the crowds for the one whose sandals he would not be worthy to untie, we long for an experience of the divine. As Jesus waited 30 years of creeping time, 40 days in the desert of temptation, 3 years in the midst of misunderstanding, 3 days in the depths of hell, so we wait for God's time, preparing the way, our turn to toil on leveling mountains and straightening paths, our turn to watch the time horizon, our turn to pass on the hope. The one who promised is faithful, and he will come back. Let me just close with this on behalf of all of us, and then we'll say goodbye. Again, from Psalm 62. I'm going to read it singularly, and then I'm going to read it corporately. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. For God alone, our souls wait in silence. From him comes our salvation. For God alone, O our souls, wait in silence, for our hope is from him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to For the Journey. We hope you'll join us again next week. And in the meantime, you can explore past episodes and see what we're up to at inthecoracle.org and on social media at inthecoracle. If you were blessed by what you just heard, please subscribe as we'll be releasing new episodes each week. Please also feel free to rate and review the show and share this episode around with others who might be blessed by it. For the Journey is made possible by the generous support of our Coracle partners, the wonderful men and women who choose to support this ministry through their prayers and financial gifts. If you're one of our partners and are listening, we are so grateful for you. If you would like to join us as a sustaining partner, you can set up a monthly donation of any amount at inthecoracle.org/support. The link is in the show notes. Our growing community of partners gets access to tailor-made resources, gifts, and events, and we would love for you to be a part of that. Our theme song is Mystery Hymn from our friends at Lowland Hum. Please give them a listen wherever you get your music. And so, friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen, and we will see you on the journey. Hallelujah.